It's time for Hog Sports Live from HogSports.com, a division of 24/7 Sports, presented by Crane Automotive. The Crane Team's got them. Visit them online at craneteam.com. And now with the latest breaking updates on Hog Sports, here's Trey Biddy.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. Got the show working and everything. Got a new docking station. Should be running smooth today, hopefully. Well, the baseball team getting knocked out of the regional against Kansas with a 13-10 loss on Sunday. We'll talk about that. We're going to have Kevin Bohannon join us, talk about what to expect moving forward because the transfer portal for baseball did open up today. There were approximately 20 visitors in town for football recruiting official visit weekend. As we know, June is a big month for recruiting visitors and the end of May, obviously. We'll talk a little football, of course. We'll talk some basketball roster building process. We'll have Danny and Kevin Bohannon on with the show today, and we'll get to your questions as well. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The unofficial sponsor of today's show is the Anchor Supreme Performance Multifunction Dock. Hopefully this bad boy solves all of our problems. This piece of crap is done. This is the second one I've had of these, and the show crapped out twice on us, so I think we've got it figured out with a new and improved docking station. Okay, on with the show. Hey, the Crane Automotive team knows that stretching your dollar is important with prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else. We focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection. Somebody's calling me. A large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive Team. Stop calling me.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane Team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane Team. Visit craneteam.com.
Hey, real quick, also, Hog Sports is 60% off starting today. This is a two-week promotion. It ends on June 15th at 11 o'clock. But 60% off, that's like $84 off the regular rate. So sign up at hogsports.com, HAWGSports.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. It's a dollar a week is what it breaks down to. Okay, so start with golf. Why not? Razorbacks finished 19th at the NCAA Championship. Gerardo Gomez tied for 22nd and will compete in the two-man playoff today in hopes of advancing to the fourth and final round in terms of the individual. But disappointing finish, sixth rank, Razorbacks finishing 19th at the NCAAs. Track, men's track has 21 entries. As we know, over the weekend they had the West Regional in Fayetteville. The East Regional was in Lexington. But 21 entries for the NCAA championship. That's a strong number. That's 18 different athletes. And a familiar name, if you guys follow football recruiting, I should mention the women also. The women had 9 entries in 6 different events. 9 entries for the women. In the quarterfinals of the 100-meter dash, the second-place finisher was Jelani Watkins. Jelani Watkins is the football transfer from LSU. He ran a 10.03 in the 100-meter dash, and he also finished second in the 200-meter quarterfinals, 20.16. Number one was Ian Dosman out of Cal State Fullerton with a 20.15. And the first place in the 100 was Louis Hinchcliffe with a 10.01. Everybody was like a senior or junior, basically, that finished up here, and Jelani Watkins is a sophomore. So, track team is on pace to, they're doing what they need to do to win a national championship. Unfortunate for baseball, obviously. Beat Missouri State 9-5 in game one on Friday, and lost 5-3 to Kansas. That was a disappointing loss on Saturday. And then, I mean, a couple of solo shots in the ninth, or they lose versus Northeastern on Sunday, but they held on to win 10-9 and then jumped out to a 5-0 lead on Kansas, and then suddenly it's 6-5 Kansas, and Kansas just never looked back from there and won 13-10. I mean, this was the team that you almost expect to win a national, like be the team that wins the national championship, because in baseball, the best team never wins. It's like I was talking, you know, that year Ole Miss won, you know, they like finished middle of the pack in the SEC and they get hot at the right time and go on to win the national championship. That's one of the things that's frustrating to me about baseball, is the best team very rarely wins at all. I don't like that. I feel like the best team should always win. Like in football, we always end football like, yep, that was the best team in the country. Like, no doubt about it, that was the best team in the country. In basketball, it's usually one of the top four teams. And no matter what, it's like the team that's like has really surged there towards the end. You might have a Cinderella here and there. Of course, we've gotten rid of all the Cinderellas. But usually in basketball, you feel like at least one of the top four teams win, whether they were a one seed or not, you know, when it all comes down. And when, you know, the game's over, you're like, you know, that was probably the best team. In baseball, I just don't feel like that's the case. Usually it isn't. Tennessee, I think they were the top-ranked team when they won it. But aside from that, like the best team never wins. So you're kind of thinking maybe with this team, like, I know that's crazy to say. You know, Trey, shut up. You don't know anything about baseball. But, you know, I kind of was thinking, like, of course this would be the team that wins it all for Dave Van Horn. So now we turn our attention to roster building. The transfer portal opened today. It's a 30-day window. It closes on June 30th. That doesn't mean that you can't come out of the portal. It just means you have 30 days basically to get in the portal. It's too long of a portal. You don't need that long to decide, I guess. Maybe you do with the – you know, I take that back, because where it's kind of like with football, how it used to be with football, like where you're right in the middle of the season. You got teams that are still in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff and super regionals and whatnot. So maybe you do need enough time. But at the same time, you can just push that off. Like, you could just say, you know, this many days, you have 2 weeks from when your team stops playing baseball. Like, you could do that. You don't need 30 days to decide if you're Arkansas or somebody else. But Kevin Bohannon's on top of all of that. Women's softball, obviously, was disappointing in the College World Series. They lost to Nebraska 5-3 in 10 innings and then were just hammered by UCLA. I mean, that was the second inning. It was over. UCLA won 11-0 in 5 innings. Of course, they just played 7 in softball. Arkansas still on the search for a starting center. You know, I saw Mika Murinen. He looked like he thickened up a little bit in the video that I saw recently of him. Maybe he could help. I don't know. He's a stretch 4, really. But, like, you've got Mika. You've got Paulo Semedo. Maybe he makes a big jump from last year. He did not play, I don't think, at all last year. He was a big cheerleader on the bench. And Maper Maker, who's the, I guess, the 2020 class of 2025 recruit, who's still kind of viewed as a project. But that's your bigs right now. And, you know, obviously Billy Richmond is back. Malik Thomas is gone. You've really got like 7 players on this team that, you know, you would look at and say, you know, these guys are going to really contribute for you. And there's not really a true big on this roster. So Micah Handlogton, I'm not even sure that's how you say it, 7'1", 260 out of Florida. We're still waiting on him to see if he gets a waiver. If he gets a waiver, things look good for Arkansas. But we've also felt that way about 4 or 5 bigs so far in the transfer portal that all went somewhere else. But he's a guy to keep an eye on. At this point, like, if you can get Malik Ewan back, do you not want Malik Ewan back? Like, can you do much worse than Malik? I wouldn't be opposed to bringing him back. You know, he's in the transfer portal right now. He's also waiting on a waiver. So he has options. He could go to another school. He could possibly return to Arkansas. I don't know that that's going to happen. Or he could, you know, go pro in some capacity. Depending on that waiver, obviously. There's a few other guys. There's a couple of reclassification possibilities. There's a guy from France. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but he might be another possibility. But they need at least one big, at least one. It's going to be an interesting team next year. You know, you don't have to have, like, a superstar in the middle, but you have to have at least a tree, you know, a guy that is a problem defensively for people, because you've got a lot of offense. And I think that they're going to be a pretty good defensive team, but not if they don't have somebody that can, you know, block shots and be a presence down low. So, yeah, that's my question with that. So, football, I want to talk a little bit about football. I've previewed, if you remember at Hog Sports, and again, it's 60% off, but I've taken a pretty in-depth look at the secondary as a whole so far, like, you know, where they were last year, why they didn't have success last season, the guys that they brought in this year, where they fit in, where the concerns are, where, you know, the areas that are solidified. We've broken that down, and including the nickel position with Kamori House. We've taken a deep dive there, and we've discussed it on the show. So I'm not going to talk too much about the secondary. We have discussed a lot about the defensive line, and they just, you know, added a couple more junior college players on the D-line. I think it's a pretty good-looking group, especially compared to recent history with Arkansas on the defensive line in terms of quality players and quantity, qualitative and quantitative. I think it looks like a defensive line that has potential, and I'd also include the jack position in that group as well. If you ask Ron Roberts, this defense, he will say, like, this is a 3-4 defense. It's really a hybrid odd front. You know, if you count the jack, which is that hybrid defensive end slash linebacker, and the star, which is the nickel, the hash, you know, the slash safety linebacker, then I guess you could call it a 3-4, you know. And that's what they'll be in 20-25% of the time. If you ask Ron Roberts, that's the look of the defense. There will be times where they tell that jack, hey, put your hand in the dirt, and, you know, you're a 4-man front now. You know, you're more like, you look more like maybe a 4-3 type. There'll be times where maybe you look more like a 3-2-6. I don't, you know, they could do all, they're going to be very multiple on defense. But the jack and the star are incredibly difficult positions to play. I feel like people talk about, you know, defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers, safeties, cornerbacks, and kind of like who can play the star, who can play the jack, when those are two, maybe the most two important positions out there. You know, you got to have depth on the defensive line, obviously. But jack is so difficult because you got to be able to get after the passer. You got to be able to cover. I mean, you got to be able to take on. And the star, too, in the same, like a star, you know, both those guys can be conflict defenders, which means they got to be smart. They got to be able to process things very quickly. So you have to be smart. You have to be an athlete. At the star, you know, like, and I'm talking like in the RPO game, but at the star, you got to be able to cover slot receivers who are generally very quick, and you got to be stout enough to tackle running backs like Braylon Russell. You got to be able to take on tight ends and wide receivers in the blocking game, or running back. You know, you got to be able to take on those guys and also be able to cover slot receivers. Like, that's a very difficult position to play, and so is the jack. And we saw, you know, some of the jack type stuff they did the last couple of years at Arkansas. Did it a lot last year, and, you know, move Xavier Sory basically to that type of position. And that's where Bradley Shaw came in and started 7 games for him, you know, kind of the midseason restructuring of the football, of the scheme. They went more towards that. And, you know, we didn't see Phillip Lee as much because they had Xavier Sory in that role. And we saw, you know, Bradley Shaw move into the starting lineup at linebacker, started 7 games, 50 tackles. But that's kind of what I want to talk about right now, just the linebacker position. Let me see here. We're going to have Danny come on in about 5 minutes or so. So we'll keep talking on this. But you've got Bradley Shaw, and the guy to – and really, like, here's the thing with linebacker. It kind of makes me think of wide receiver at Arkansas, because – you've had some guys at wide receiver that were really good players over the years who didn't translate to the NFL. And you've kind of had that at linebacker. You know, you can have some good linebackers in college who maybe don't make it to the NFL. And like, if you want to talk the wide receivers, Omega Blake last year was a good wide receiver. Andrew Armstrong. Andrew Armstrong was a stud here and isn't in the NFL. You know, Jaden Hazelwood maybe didn't live up to that five-star status, but he was still a pretty good wide receiver. Matt Landers was probably the best wide receiver on that team. Neither of those guys made it to the NFL. Drew Morgan, 63 catches or something 1 year, 10 touchdowns, no NFL career. Keon Hatcher, Javonte Herndon did make NFL roster but wasn't drafted. Kobe Hamilton made NFL roster also but wasn't drafted. I mean, that's like you would take every one of those guys. You would take all those guys, you know, and none of them were drafted. And at linebacker, if you go back the last 20 years, there have been three linebackers drafted at Arkansas. Drew Sanders, who was just here a year, Dre Greenlaw, and Martrell Spate. That's 2023, 2019, and 2015. Pooh Paul was drafted, but he'd transferred to Ole Miss. He was selected in the fifth round. But, like, you know, last season we thought Xavier Sory had a chance, but he, you know, started off the year injured and just never really got there. But, like, you would take these guys. You would take Anthony Switzer. You would take Antonio Greer. You'd take Hayden Henry. You'd take Bumper Poole, Jaheim Thomas, Grant Morgan. Dijon Harris played in the NFL a little bit. Like, he had five career tackles, but he wasn't drafted either. But you would take all of those guys, and they weren't drafted in the NFL. So, so projected starters, we talked Bradley Shaw. Jaquavion Smith was probably one of the standouts of the spring, maybe a surprise player. Both Shaw and Smith are 6'1", 227. That's their listed height and weight. Shaw was about 240-something last year, so he's dropped a good bit of weight. But Shaw, you know, basically the way Ron Roberts says is this is his defense. Like, they're going to go as Shaw goes. So it's his – actually, he said it's his team. So – that's certainly a lot to put on him, but both those guys have high football IQs, and Smith should be a guy that a lot of people know. Wyatt Simmons is probably the next guy, that third linebacker, and Simmons redshirted his first year. He's obviously, if you remember from Simmons' recruitment, like nobody heard about him, and then suddenly it's like, who is this guy at a Harding Academy? Auburn, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Oklahoma, Texas, USC, May, June, leading into his senior year, all those guys just jumped on board. All those guys. So then after him, and he ended up obviously picking Arkansas. You know, some thought maybe he would go to Harding, where his dad, Paul Simmons, was head coach, which Paul is GM now there. So you've got Ben Bogle, who transferred. Ben Bogle was an honorable mention All-American at FCS member Southern Illinois. Then transferred to West Virginia, had 37 tackles, 3 sacks, and 12 games last year. So he's one of the guys in the mix. Phoenix Jackson, a guy that I really like, who was beat up most of the spring. And Ben Bogle was banged up a little bit in the spring, too. All these guys were banged up at times. Phoenix Jackson, 6 foot 217, was at Fresno State, 48 tackles, 4 sacks, a couple picks. Transferred to Baylor and had 11 tackles in 3 games and was injured for the season, ended up taking a medical. So Phoenix Jackson and then Jeremy Evans. So Jeremy Evans, who was also at Baylor, and Evans was a former 4-star recruit, but he never really like lived up, I guess, to 4-star status. You know, he just hadn't produced. 24 career tackles. He's a senior, you know. So maybe he's a guy that needs a change of scenery or whatever. So, and then the only freshman is Ja'Cory Smith, who had a lot of really impressive offers also. So that's just kind of a snapshot of the linebackers. You can read all of this. I've broken down secondary, defensive line, and linebackers, and that includes the Jack and the Star positions. All at Hog Sports, very in-depth breakdown just to get a better idea of the defense. I do think that they will have a better defense. How much better, I don't know. I just know it's going to be better. Based on what I've seen, they've got better personnel overall. All right, let's hop over to Danny West. Danny West joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline. If you need fast, reliable, consistent internet service, then check out our friends over at Ozarks Go. where you can find all that. 479-684-4900 or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G, and check them out. It is a local company. Danny, how's it going, man?
Hey, bud. I'm going. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to see some recruits in town this weekend. I know what was about 20 guys in town. What can you tell us? Just a brief overview of the weekend.
Sure. Got a couple of new commitments, Trey. Specialist. I know that fires everybody up, but they did. They got the kicker and the punter out of the way this weekend, so we'll start there. New kicker commitment, Rocco De Prima out of Como, Columbia, Missouri. So you're taking one from the Tigers there. He's at Rock Bridge High School, 6'1", 180, unrated by 24/7 Sports. You could kind of see both of these two coming, but let me touch on this one first. Declan Ham, great name, H-A-M-M, last name. Louisville, Texas, he's your new punter, 6'3", 200, top 10, five-star, according to the kicking experts, Trey. So a couple of good, unsurprising commitments there. I think you could kind of see it coming a little bit. Chad Lunsford's been on those two. They had made unofficial trips to Arkansas and evidently just fell in love with the place, man. So, you know, you're up to 10 now. I think they're ranking around 46th in the country. Obviously, you get a couple of unrated guys. That's going to hurt you a little bit in terms of ranking. So they have gone backwards a little bit. Yeah, I would say it's a pretty good group this past weekend. We can kind of go over some of these other guys that were maybe a little more notable. We'll start with Lawrence Britt out of Memphis, Tennessee, a four-star wide receiver, about 6'1", 180. Again, four-star. I think he's number 10 in their state of Tennessee over there. Looks like Arkansas and Missouri down for that one too, man. And as of right now, Trey, I would probably lean a little bit towards the Razorbacks coming out of this visit. Of course, he's going to Como next weekend, so, you know, that can all change. We've seen that happen time and time again, but so far, so good with Lawrence Britt. This is a kid that they've been on since, you know, their Memphis days, a local kid that they've they're quite familiar with him. I'll put it that way. But Dolph McDonald, big time. I say big time. We've got him as an 89 three-star out of Morton, Mississippi, a corner, 6'1", about 165. Again, we've got him highly rated three, but he's got a four-star type offer list. He's got a few more visits to take as well, but yeah, I think they've made up some ground in a hurry there. They've still got a few Mississippi connections on staff, you know, with Eddie Hicks, obviously recruiting Dolph McDonald. I think he's going to take those visits to Mississippi State at least, and probably Ole Miss as well still coming up. So not loving it, you know, with those two visits still out there, but maybe you can get him to shut it down relatively soon. Elijah Shaw is a four-star.
Are they staying up at the Stonebreaker? Is that the weekend?
You know what? They went to Bentonville this past weekend, a new spot. I'm not going to put it out there, but a little bit of a new spot.
I bet I know what it is. I know the new hotel there, and it's fancy. Yeah. So I do know that. So I'm not trying to give any inside information. I told you about that deal my wife went to at Crystal Bridges.
Yes, all that.
Yeah, so my wife gets invited to go to Crystal Bridges, and I mean, she didn't know what she's getting into, but the bus comes, picks her up, and then goes and picks up Jennifer Urachek and Katie Silverfield, and, you know, like this whole group of girls. And she said Ryan walked Katie out to the car, and like they had just had all those recruits over at their house, like just, you know, and then they were going to Texas de Brazil in Rogers, you know, steakhouse thing. But anyway, that's just a little bit of insight. By the way, my wife goes to this deal at Crystal Bridges, and she looks over and Martha Stewart's next to her, and she's like admiring this one woman's dress, like this beautiful dress, and it's Jewel, the singer.
Really?
Jewel.
she's pretty Puck local, was there. Right? She's not a Missouri guy?
I don't know where she's from, actually.
I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know where she's from. Wolfgang Puck was there. Bill and Hillary Clinton were there. Obviously, all the Waltons, Tyson. She was like what just happened? I don't think she had any idea that it was supposed to be that. But anyway, that's kind of, you know, recruits.
That's how people feel when they run into Trey Biddy nowadays.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're like, what just happened? I met him.
All right. Well, I just want to give people a little insight on, you know, they have been staying at nicer hotels. You know, I can remember back when they spray, you know, nothing against Springdale Holiday Inn, but that's where they used to stay, right? For years.
Yeah, long time. Yeah. Long time. Went to the, you know, obviously Chancellor for a long time.
Yeah, I went to the Chancellor for a good number of years, actually. Yeah. So
they had one in Fayetteville, Biddy. We could probably get into it off the air, but I ran into Petrino there one time. You remember, what's the name of that
one? Yeah. It's like, it was just like a regular.
Yeah, it was just Plain Jane. Right
in Marriott or something
right by
like
Chili's,
that.
Right?
Do what?
It was right by Chili's and.
Yeah. Yeah. Over on you know, the north side of town. Yeah. I think it's just like a Marriott or something. Yeah, but they did that for years there too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Anyhow, we got all offside. Right.
Pick it up.
I want to tell you about this 4-star offensive tackle from Leawood, Kansas, Blue Valley North, Elijah Shaw. We're, you know, 6'8", 275, 4-star, number 2 player in the state of Kansas. A little bit interesting there, Trey. I felt like they're probably going to be, you know, sitting on the back burner for this kid. But, you know, it seems to me they're making up pretty good ground in a hurry. Now, I don't know if they're going to beat Mateos or not. He's going to Wisconsin next weekend. Still got Minnesota, I believe, after that. But Iowa State's been up there for him, so another local school to battle. But seems like they're making up pretty good ground with Elijah. I just don't know if it's enough, man. So, you know, some of these Kansas City kids, it's tough, man. I don't get it, but Arkansas doesn't always blow them away for whatever reason. It's not always the perfect fit. Maybe that'll change this time. But that was another 4-star. And Brajan Melancon, another 88 athlete, we've got him. But they want him at corner. Kid out of Rosedale, Louisiana. A really good kid. I think he could be a spokesperson for Northwest Arkansas at this point. He was really, really blown away by what he found there. And, you know, the hospitality, just how people treat him, that relates to him being, you know, a Louisiana kid. And I think he was really impressed that, you know, it's a one-show state that appeals to him. So he said, hey, I'm in Louisiana. I deal with LSU, but this is just different here. So that's always cool to hear. And I'm kind of burying the lead a little bit here, Trey, with Asa Barnes, running back out of Martin, Tennessee, Westview High School, 5'11", 200. We've got him at 88 right now, 88 3-star, but I'm hearing pretty good things. They may be able to double up with Jeremiah Dent, who was also on campus, and maybe able to go 2-for-2 there with that running back situation. Keep an eye on that. Now, again, the trend right now, Biddy, is a lot of these guys have remaining visits. And if you don't shut them down, you know, while you got them on campus, a lot of times they get away from you, especially when they're saving that last visit for the in-state schools, which seems to be the case here for Barnes. But, you know, we'll see what happens between now and then. June 19th is 18 days away, and he's fresh off this visit. Supposed to go to FSU and USC next, so. Just keep an eye on that one. We'll see what happens there. Danny, I think that pretty much covers, like, you know, the big names for now. And then we can kind of preview this coming weekend, if you'd like.
Yeah, let's take a look at next weekend, Danny. What you got? Right.
Well, it kind of starts Thursday, June 4th, instead of Friday, a little bit of a split week. Now, we're starting to get into camps. You know, camp schedule can change things a little bit. You got to be a little bit mindful of just how many you got on hand. In June, you know, it can get away from you a little bit, but June 4th, we'll start with Thursday. Hunter Haug, I call him H-A-U-G. I'm sure it's Haig or something else, but I'm going with Haug. Hunter Haug, athlete. We've got him out of Spring Branch, Texas, calling him a safety, 88 3-star. Again, another trend, a lot of 87s to 89 3-stars. Maybe not seeing so many 4-stars as we talked about last week, but at least they're getting the, you know, the developmental types with a little bit of a ceiling with them. So look for him on Thursday. Eli Thornton's supposed to be up on Thursday, already committed out of Jonesboro, Valley View. I know I'm looking away from you here. I'm just going down the list. I've had baseball on my mind the last few days, and I'm just getting caught up today trying to catch up with a bunch of kids. But let's backtrack just a second, Trey. I skipped over the quarterback situation, talking about burying the lead. But they did. They had Kaysen Myers from Auburn, Alabama. So another SEC hometown kid on campus this weekend. And I'm going to bring him up here. But Kaysen Myers is an interesting case as it stands right now, because he was initially set to visit Arkansas on June 19th, which would be, you know, the final weekend of the month before everything goes dead for 2 months. And they pushed him up, or maybe he pushed it up, but brought him in on the first weekend instead of the last. And it's notable because now this week you get the four-star kid, Colton Nussmeier, making his way to campus on Friday. There's a few four-stars headed this way. Jabari Watkins, a four-star receiver, also coming in this weekend. But
Danny, I don't want him to recruit any quarterbacks.
I'll pass it on. I understand what you're getting.
Well, like, everybody is going out and getting guys out of the transfer portal who are proven somewhere else. Like, yep. The idea of starting a guy at quarterback who you have nothing on, you know? Yeah. I mean, like, because it's impossible to evaluate that position. It's one of the reasons I'm so worried about this team coming up, because they have two very unproven quarterbacks. And the teams that aren't messing around go out and just get somebody else's quarterback, you know?
Facts, brother. I'm with you. I get it.
I mean, I guess there's a scenario where there's an injury and a guy gets forced into a situation and you realize you have a quarterback and maybe you need to recruit for that. But I don't know. I look at the landscape of college football and teams that are like rolling, unless you're going out and getting a five-star guy like a Ty Simpson or a Julian Sayin or something, then most of the teams out there are just going out and, you know, that are good are going out and getting somebody else's quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I totally get that. But hey, it is what it is. Kaysen was in this past weekend. I say all that to say this. I felt like he was blown away, almost to the point of maybe think he wants to be a part of it, but I don't want to speak for the kid. I'm putting words in his mouth there. But it's interesting because this weekend you got Nussmeier coming in, obviously, a big-time kid, followed next week by his trip to Georgia. Now, Georgia, obviously, is apples and oranges compared to Arkansas at the moment. In terms of football success, you would assume, it'd be easy to assume Georgia would just run away if that's a straight up, head up competition between the two schools. On the other hand, Georgia's already got a 2028 commitment at quarterback. You know, they've already got talent on hand. And like you talked about, they can just go out and name one, you know, get in the portal. Come on, be our guy. So that probably works against them too. The kid they've got committed for 2028 is big time. Like, you know, supposed to be one of the best in the country. Sorry for missing his name here. Don't have Georgia's commitment list pulled up. But, you know, that's something else he's got to consider. And, of course, he's coming into Arkansas this weekend. Arkansas gets first look. You've also now got Kaysen Myers kind of in your back pocket, so to speak. Again, I don't want to speak for him, but it feels like that to me, right? And also coming in this weekend, another quarterback, Brody Campbell out of Noonan, Georgia. You familiar with Noonan, Biddy?
Yeah, I remember. What's that defensive tackle's name? Ernest Mitchell Jr.
One of the strongest players ever.
One of the fact that I can remember that guy's hometown, he was Petrino era, wasn't he?
Well, he was
end of Nutt era, one year of Petrino.
I know it was Petrino.
I think Petrino kicked him off the team or something. But yeah, Noonan, Georgia.
You're right. Anyway, Brody's coming in this weekend. Again, 88 3-star, 6'2", 185. He's got some good offers. We've actually got a pretty detailed story on him right now on the site. Shout out to Benjamin Wolk. Hey, Benjamin's a heck of a recruiting writer, man. He's coming on big time. He's getting a lot. So shout out to him.
Yep.
Does a really good job for us. But, moving on down the list. So it starts there. A couple of quarterbacks. Obviously, Jabari Watkins, a kid out of Thomasville, Georgia, Thomas County Central High School, four-star we call him athlete. He's a receiver. He's a 94 star, number 25 player in the state of always loaded Georgia. It's kind of a Georgia weekend, Betty. We talked about the quarterback from Noonan. Now we've talked about Jabari Watkins, but got a corner coming, Emerson Lewis out of Savannah. He's at Calvary Day. Again, 88 three-star. Braylon Mills is an offensive tackle, 87 three-star out of Warner Robins, Houston County High School, 6'6 and a half, 315. You got a few more. I want to say six Georgia kids. Rashad Silver coming in from Decatur, Columbia High School, 6'2, 180. We call him athlete. He's a corner, 86 three-star. And then there's a couple more. Oh, Zy Huzzy, who's already committed, corner out of LaGrange, will be in this weekend. He committed, you know, a few weeks ago, about a month or two ago, whatever it's been. On top of that, got a few more corners. I really like this kid, Stanley Peters, out of Seminary, Mississippi, 5'10", 170, 87 three-star. I'm going to bring up his list here, Biddy. I want you to check him out if you get time. I think he's a stud, but he was at Houston this past weekend. We're going back to a trend here. I'm seeing June 5th at Arkansas, but followed by Mississippi State, then Ole Miss. So, again, home teams are getting the final visits there. That typically works against you, but nowadays you never know. It's a different game nowadays. But people can check out the list. I want to throw one more at you. We're talking about wide receivers. This is one we've talked about for a while. Brody Knowles out of South Lake Carroll, Texas, 6'5", 200, 87 three-star. That's one they've been on for a long time. So no coincidence there. You bring in a couple of heavily recruited quarterbacks, including Colton Nussmeier out of Denton Ryan, Texas. And so, of course, you want to bring in some four-star talent receivers. So you got Watkins. You got Knowles coming in. There's another kid. Jalen Kello is a corner out of Willis, Texas, 6'2", 180, recently offered, made a quick scheduled visit with the Hogs, so could be one to watch there. Jalend Kello, I want to say.
All right, good stuff, Danny. You can follow Danny and read all of his content about the recruiting weekend that was and the recruiting weekend coming up and everything that will follow after that at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com, or follow him on X at Danny West 24/7. Danny, I'm going to get you out with one question here from our Q&A deal on Hog Sports. This is from Natural State Sports, who's been with us for 24 months. Who was the most, this is a random one, who was the most impactful decommitment during the Pittman era?
Oh, man.
That's one that'll make you think. That's a tough one just to throw out at you.
Boy, I can't even remember. Let me just run through a few of them real quick.
Like, was there anybody that just like went somewhere and dominated?
I don't know about dominant. Ooh, Anthony Evans. He's probably a pretty good one. Kid out of Converse, Texas, was committed to him. I want to say I saw this kid this past weekend over in Kansas, Jaden Ham, a former tight end. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's on that list, but Micah Tease was a big one. You remember how all that went down. They were in on him forever.
Anthony Evans had, for Mississippi State, had 67 catches for 831 yards and four touchdowns
last season. He might be the pick.
Yeah.
Ashton Bethel-Roman might be the pick.
Oh, yeah. Bethel-Roman played for Texas
A&M
last
year. Here's one. Jaden Ball. You know how much I love Jaden Ball, man. I was on him early. I felt like he was going to be a stud, and he was a show enough stud.
All right, Danny.
Those are just a few.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks for bringing back good memories there.
Hey, those are the kinds of questions we get these days.
That's right.
Tell me something that'll make me hurt more. Yeah. All right, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, man. See you.
All right, everybody. That's Danny West. Follow him at Danny West on X and read all of his content at Hog Sports. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance and when I needed homeowners insurance and when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way, so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Coverage you need, people you trust. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to a guy who's getting very busy, Kevin Bohannon, because the transfer portal has opened for baseball. You can read all of Kevin Bohannon's content at Hog Sports, hawgsports.com, or follow him at Kbo Baseball Guru on X. Jayhawks are just too much for him, Kbo.
Yeah.
Too much.
They were really good. Also. They were better than what I thought. Tyson LeBlanc and Justin. There was so much talk about Justin LeBron from Alabama. Tyson LeBlanc at Kansas can play circles around him. He is a tough out. 24 bombs from the leadoff spot for a shortstop. I mean, come on. I mean, that's the type of guys they were dealing with this weekend. Dykoff at first base. I mean, they had Brady Ballinger was like a preseason All-American hitting in the 8-hole for them. You know, their pitching depth is not, you know, that deep, but the guys that they ran out there competed, you know, Ryan Ritter and then the Bade guy, the starter that they put out yesterday from France. I'm not even going to try to say his name. Arkansas got on him quick, and Arkansas didn't even see Dominic Vogel, who leads the team in strikeouts. He's got 117 on the year. So, yeah, Kansas was just too much, and Arkansas didn't have the pitching to keep up.
Yeah, Kevin, you want to give us some grades maybe? What do you think about this team this year? I was saying earlier on the show, it's like this will probably be the team that wins the national championship, gets hot at the right time, just because it's always, you know, it's never the team that's ranked number one. It's always some team like that that just gets hot at the right time, it seems like. But the overall season, I know there's not going to be a lot of A's or even B's here.
Yeah, and, you know, that's expected for a team that – and a lot of people said, was this the worst team in the last decade? And it's hard to put a worst label on a team that won 41 games for, you know, and 40 wins for the ninth consecutive season. So I would say the most inconsistent team in the last 10 years for Dave Van Horn, you know, since the 2016 team. You really didn't know what to expect. And, you know, I said a couple of times the game yesterday was kind of just a good snapshot of what the season was like. Start out really well and then get down, then maybe make a little comeback, and at the end you just didn't have enough. So that's really how the season went. So, yeah, I broke it down into three categories. I leave coaching alone. Yes, it's my job to, you know, offer, you know, analysis and maybe criticism on coaches, but I leave that alone. I thought Dave Van Horn did a really good job of what he had to deal with this year. That was a lot. I think it took a few years off of his life expectancy, just the injuries, you know, dealing with everything, having to play so many freshmen. And he said that in the post-game press conference yesterday. You know, they weren't expecting to play this many freshmen. They didn't have a pitcher step up from that freshman class and be the guy like they've had in the last few years. Carson Wiggins, Jackson Wiggins, Gage Wood, Hagan Smith, Brady Tiger. Just over the last 5 years, they've had at least one freshman step up that they could rely on, and they didn't have that this year. So I broke it down into pitching, hitting, and defense. So start out with defense because it was the worst. We'll give them a D on the year. They ended up fielding 972 for the year, committed 62 errors. And a lot of that has to do with having to play Camden Kozel at shortstop. That's not his natural position. You put Mike Inouye in center field. He had been playing shortstop at Marshall up to that, so that was a first-time position for him. Right field was up and down all year. Didn't have a really athletic guy out there. So, yeah, defense was a D. Hitting, I put C+. And, you know, they hit 105 home runs. That's fourth most in school history. But they also struck out 605 times, which is the most in school history, no matter if it's total number of strikeouts or strikeouts per game, which was 9.6. So it was right there in the middle. They made a good run at the end offensively. I thought it was really good. So in pitching, C-. And you look at that grades together, they're, you know, this an average ball club. You know, yeah, but maybe slightly above average considering they won 41 games in 17 in the SEC, 20 if you include the SEC tournament. You know, you had guys like Ryder Helfrich, 18 home runs, 53 RBIs. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. Camden Kozel upped his year from his first year on campus, now 20 home runs and 71 RBIs. TJ Pompey was feast or famine, 15 home runs, 88 strikeouts, which is the most by a Razorback player in a single season in the history of the program. So just a mixed bag of things. Hunter Dietz, Ethan McElvain pitched their tail off. Gackle towards the end of the season. I kind of figured it out again, but a lot of production to replace in the coming weeks.
You mentioned a few juniors there just now, but there's a lot of juniors on this team. This is from Hot Diggity Hog. Who do we expect back? Like, how many guys can we expect back? You know, Souza, you mentioned Pompey, Kozel, you mentioned Helfrich. Obviously, he's going to be a first rounder. But there's Big Country, McElvain, Tuna, Ruiz, Dossett, Tate.
Yeah. So I put out the roster tracker today and I named it the headline of the article is Razorbacks face tall task in replacing production for 2027. That headline will change to offseason roster tracker as we go and we add and subtract kids. Okay. So the way it breaks down right now, Trey, is I broke it down into a few categories: starting pro career / life after baseball, eligible to return, and then newcomers. All right. I don't do, okay, they're on the roster now, and or okay, you got guys that are leaving, you got guys that are coming. Bottom line, you've already had two guys that have entered the transfer portal: Tyler Holland, who's a utility guy, and then Caden Mitchell, who is a freshman corner infielder. So you haven't lost anybody that you really, you know, got any production out of. But Nolan Souza, New, Pompey, Kozel, Stewart, Gackle, Helfrich, Dietz, McElvain, Coyle, Fisher, Ruiz, Wiggins, and Brennan Kleiman are the 14 that I have projected to move on right now. Guys like Colin Fisher, who could come back for a senior year and maybe produce more, I think he has reached a point at Arkansas to where he won't be, I hate to say it, welcome back, because they have to move on to somebody that can produce in the SEC. Bottom line, that's where they're at this point. They have to get production and build a championship roster. So Tate McGuire is a 50-50 draft prospect. I think he will get drafted, but I have him on the eligible to return right now because I think it's kind of in that line. Same thing with Kuhio Aloy. He does not have a position, Trey, and teams do not draft DHs, designated hitters. So will a team take a chance on his bat and get him in their pro program and teach him how to play outfield? Possibly. And Arkansas has to make the decision, do they want to bring him back or they want to take that spot and give it to somebody else that can play a position? Because that's what they need. They need position guys. They're going to have to get 7 or 8 position guys. Brennan Clark is coming back. He was projected to start in the outfield. He would, you know, after everything shook out, I think he would have started in right field this year. So that's the only guaranteed starter that I think will come back and possibly start next year. Then you have to go through all the pitching as well. Got a lot of freshmen back, and then you got Cole Gibbler, and then a ton of to-be sophomores. So Reese Robinette would be a redshirt senior if he came back, but I think they'll move on from him as well.
Wanted to get you another one. This is from Pittsburgh Squealer. No, excuse me. Arnold Ziffel, the pig.
Yeah.
He says, what effect does the new baseball general manager have on recruiting and NIL transfers? So DJ Baxendale, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a director of player personnel, but somebody that can handle the finances, the accounting, and build a roster out. So Vanderbilt released a job title description for the same position. They didn't call it a general manager, but it was like director of player personnel and scouting or something like that. So, and it had on there, you know, project revenue for the next 4 years and roster tracking for the next 4 years. So right now they have 23 that are eligible to come back, Trey, maybe 24 if you add in Colin Fisher. They've got 12 newcomers coming in. That's 36. The roster limit's 34, not counting the designated student athlete tag that a couple of these guys had, and I think that vanishes after this year. So it's DJ's job to have the accounting for how much money's going out and how much money's coming in. Now, there are numbers that have been floated around that aren't verified, like Camden Kozel, 325 to 350. Ethan McElvain, 400,000. They were making just about the most on the team. Maybe Carson Wiggins at 500,000. I don't have that verified, but that's numbers that have been flown around. I feel confident in Kozel and McElvain made close to 750,000 combined. You do not have a $1 million baseball player in college baseball right now, according to the report that came out last year. Would there be this year? Possibly. But it's DJ's job to be on the ground floor of getting these portal guys, get them contacted, get them to visit, get notes from the coaching staff. And that way Dave Van Horn could just focus on talking to players, raising money, and putting together a roster that he feels he can win a national championship with.
All right, Kevin. Last thing, just a few names to watch in the transfer portal as possibilities for Arkansas.
Yeah, there's already been some really big names come out from schools that did not make the postseason. And Trey Halsey's a first baseman from Louisiana Tech that I've got my eye on. He struck out below 16% this year. That's what you really want. I think he struck out 39 times as a power-hitting first baseman for Louisiana Tech. Then you got catcher John Embry. He was an all-conference A-Sun catcher at Florida Gulf Coast, so you have a connection there with Charles Davalon. Very good hitter, very good behind the plate, big, stout kid. They're going to have a stopgap. I think Max Holland can be the future of this team, the young catcher from Conway. He will just be a freshman. Can't expect him to start right away, so they need to get a developed, experienced catcher that can produce to replace Ryder Hilfert. And then the last one, the one I really, really like, is shortstop Titan Kamaka from Mercer. I think he's a guy that can really be a true shortstop for Dave Van Horn. He was all conference at Mercer. The coaches have started following him on social media. We've got the transfer portal thread up on hogsports.com. We've got the roster tracker, everything you could want knowing about this team, what's coming down the pipe, who to look out for. Make sure you sign up today. I know we have some promos going on.
Yeah, 60% off right now at Hogsports, and all of your roster building information for baseball, we've got you covered at Hogsports with Kevin Bohannon. All right, Kaybo, appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, Trey. See you.
All right, everybody. Follow Kevin at Kaybo Baseball Guru on X and read all of his content at Hogsports, HAWGSports.com. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team have had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, visit them at their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers. Not a better jewelry store in the region across states than that one. Okay. Questions. See what we got. Let's check out a couple comments here. See if we got anything interesting here. Time to transition to football. The other day I was talking about football and somebody's like, it's baseball season. Like, it's always football. Football season never stops. Unfortunately for the baseball team, but in DVH, we believe. I heard a lot of interesting comments on Dave Van Horn. Like, we post all the, you know, press conference videos on this YouTube page. And somebody was like, you know, hopefully you can learn something from this and do better job at your recruiting, like exclamation points, your recruiting, like you did this, you know, like, guys, DVH here, like, coaching matters. Like, you think you're entitled to something. Just because baseball has been very good and maybe hasn't reached that pinnacle of winning a national championship. But, like, look at Tennessee, like the difference that a coach made for them versus not having that coach. It happens with everything. Look at Indiana basketball, like the years they had Bobby Knight, you know, and then Indiana hasn't been what they used to be. North Carolina hasn't been what they used to be in basketball. You know, it goes on and on. Coaching matters. Coaching makes a program. Okay. Like Alabama's not what they were without Nick, you know, now without Nick Saban. Like, coaching matters. And people need to remember, like, DBH is an incredible baseball coach, and Arkansas is lucky to have him. And he's not going to be perfect. He's going to make mistakes, obviously. But a lot of times you just don't know what you got until it's gone. So I agree with you 100% there. Who would want to go to Mississippi State? Not me. I've been to Starkville. Unimpressed. Track meet and Walmart Associates Week tied up hotels in Fayetteville last weekend. Yeah, I guess that's possible. I would guess, I think I know the hotel, but if Danny didn't want to say it, I'm not going to say it, but I think I know the hotel. Don't make the Clintons mad, you might disappear. That was a great, my wife was like, what is going on here? Just like celebrities everywhere and stuff. Building issues were really surprising to me. Yeah. That, and we couldn't catch a break on any challenges. Having that ULR pitcher who decided to sign with the Astros would have been nice, not to mention whatever is going on with Wiggins. Are you a fan of how Silverfield schedules his practices, whether order or pacing? I am good with Silverfield's practices. They felt organized, clean, structured. They played music, but they also didn't play music at times, you know, when it's very heavy teaching periods. Yeah, I like the way practices were structured. I did not ever feel like this is chaotic or this doesn't make any sense to do that. They put a huge emphasis on turnovers, and I think that's very important. They spent a lot of work on special teams, which is important when you talk about certain aspects of special teams. Like, I'm not a big fan of working on kickoff and kickoff return. I don't remember seeing that a whole lot. But I am a big fan of working at punt team. You know, punt return team, yes, of course, that matters too. But especially punt team. That one is the one that can get you in a lot of trouble. You see blocked punts. You just see mistakes all the time. That's where you can have a game get turned around if you're a bad punt team. So got to make sure that you're polished up in that area. And I've mentioned before, you look at the past with Silverfield at Memphis, they were really strong in the turnover department, in the penalty department, and in special teams. They had some explosive plays on special teams, but they also, you know, didn't have like block kicks and things like that. You just can't have those kind of things if you're Arkansas. They're going to have a successful season. You know, they're not going to have those issues. And by success, I mean getting to a bowl game. Like, and that's not something that I even am putting on them right now. Like, I'm not projecting them to go to a bowl game. What I want to see is a lot of progress in the right direction. Now, they have a quarterback. Like, if one of these guys shows up and like, wow, okay, this guy can play now. Like, we don't know that yet, but if there's a guy like that, then they can go to a bowl game. I really believe that they could. Have I done my summer school episode? I have not done my summer school episode with Bud Elliott yet. All right. All right, let's look at the questions over here on Hog Sports, HAWG Sports. Again, 60% off. Army of Nabunga says, did you have anything to do with the recruiting? Deckland. That's an old joke about... apparently, I have all my employees wash my deck. Natural State Sports, we answered that one about decommitment of the Pittman era. Joshua Levin says, Trey, any thoughts on the football team in this upcoming season? Have you booked your trip to Salt Lake City yet? I have not, but that is on the plans. I did, over the weekend, book my trip to SEC Media Days. I'll be flying in the night of the 19th. And then leaving after Arkansas, which is on the last day. So I did book the trip to SEC Media Days already, but next on my to-do list is booking the Salt Lake City trip for the Utah game. It's a very important game, 9:15 p.m. our time, 8:15 p.m. their time, 10:15 p.m. if you're watching in the Eastern time zone. It's an incredibly late game. Surprisingly that they made it so late, but they did. That's what they decided to do. Okay, we answered Arnold Ziffel's question. Pittsburgh Squealer says, no, given our NIL budget, would you sacrifice a few of the defensive commitments and use that money on a proven quarterback? I don't know. It's a good question. Like, would I give up? I mean, I would take a proven quarterback, yes. I would take a proven, like, this guy's a really good quarterback. Because you have to have that. You have to have a good quarterback to be a good football team. You can't just have a crappy quarterback and be good everywhere else. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So I have to say, yes, I would sacrifice. I mean, what is it going to take? That might take a few defensive layers. That's a lot. Because I want to have a good defense. That's a tough one. It's a tough one to choose from. But you have to have a quarterback. And maybe they do. They could. But they definitely don't have a proven one. How many players hit the portal leaving? We talked about that a little bit with Cabo. TJ Football says, where is Connor? Is he okay? I just didn't have him on the show today because we had a lot to do with recruiting and transfer portal stuff with baseball, and the baseball season just ended, so I didn't have Connor on today. But Connor has had a family issue, but he's back up and running now. But last week he had there was a family emergency that he had to deal with. We talked about the baseball general manager. Paul Feinhog says, what percent chance would you give Arkansas to win the Natty in baseball, basketball, or football in the next 5 years? Baseball, maybe what I've always given them, a 50% chance. I mean, I do think that DBH, and, you know, I don't know that he's going to be here longer than 5 years. What is DBH, 65? How old is DBH? Is he even that old? DBH is 65. So I don't know if he'll be here five more years. I know he has a plan to retire in Fayetteville, but obviously he lived here for 25 years and then some time before that. But 50% basketball, 20% football. Yeah, football in the next 5 years, winning a national championship, 0.1%, one in a thousand, one in a million. I don't know. It's hard to imagine any success for football right now, but basketball, there's a chance that they could win a national championship with Calipari. Absolutely a chance. Baseball, definitely a chance. They should have had one already by now. And Chad Razorbeck says, in the next 5 years, do you feel like Ryan Silverfield is more likely to have at least one 10-2 season or at least one 2-10 season? Man, you guys are asking me some questions. I don't know. What would the odds on Bet Saracen be? Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app. Don't be copping out on this question. Number one sports betting app, and if you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250, and you put $25 down when you sign up on your first bet, you get $250 back in bonuses to bet on Bet Saracen. So, pretty sweet deal from our friends over at Bet Saracen, Arkansas's number one sports betting app. The local guys, the local guys.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
I mean, probably more likely to be 2-10. I mean, 10-2 is that's a season. And especially if you consider the 9-game SEC slate that they have, some of the games that are coming up over the next 5 years. I mean, you still go to Notre Dame. You have Oklahoma State coming here next year. But yeah, probably more likely to go 2-10 just because we've seen that. I mean, the last time we saw 10 wins for a football team, it was 2011. Crazy. Trey, is there an athlete or famous person you've met who left you starstruck? I have not met a lot of famous people, first of all. One time I was sitting at, what's that, a Brazilian restaurant in Little Rock. I don't even know if it's still there. I think it maybe starts with a B. But I was sitting there and in walks Donna from That 70s Show. And I just remember looking up and seeing her. She was going to the bathroom and I was like, That 70s Show. I met Mary Steenburgen and Ted Danson at an event one time, and Joey Lauren Adams. This was funny. This one guy had bid something on some, you know, auction item, and Mary Steenburgen goes up, you know, and she's thanking him, and this guy just wants to talk to me. And it was like, and she's like trying to talk to him, and it's like she wasn't even standing there. But meeting her and talking to her was cool. You know, I've always liked her. And she's, you know, Arkansas. She went to Park Hill Elementary School, where I went to elementary school also. My sister wrote her a letter one time and asked her to come speak at the school, and she did. She came to the school and spoke to everybody, which was pretty cool. So I've always liked Mary Steenburgen. I met the dude from Black-ish, that TV show. I didn't meet him. He was just in the elevator with me in Memphis one time. Like, I look over and it's a dude from Black-ish. I don't even know his name. he was, I guess I met him. I'm trying to think, like, I'm sure there's a big celebrity that I've met that left me starstruck, but like, it doesn't really happen for me with athletes anymore because I meet so many of them. Musicians. Yeah, I've never really, I guess I don't have a long list of celebrities that I've met, but I know that my wife was pretty stunned to see Martha Stewart and Jewel especially. All right. I guess that's the show. We've gone kind of long today, but we had a lot to discuss. Nice to have a lot to discuss. I felt like the last couple of shows just kind of been like, oh, we had the dongle issue, this piece of crap. Where is it? Did I throw it? This is a OW something. I can't really read it, but it stinks. And we're on to this guy. So hopefully the quality was good today. We've got one plug-in here. So we are, I don't even have my power cord plugged in now. It's just this one plug-in, and then all my, I've got two monitors here. I've got the camera. I've got, which is plugged in, and I've got this all plugged in, and the Ethernet all plugged in there to that device. So hopefully we won't have any more issues with that. It was not the internet. Ozarks Go has been 100% uptime. It has not stopped working for me. So all the comments about an internet, it's not the internet. It was that piece of crap. All right. Hey, Back Nine Golf real quick before we get out of here. Be sure to check them out in Fayetteville. They offer demos. Go to theback9golf.com. 4 hitting bays, a VIP section with a bar, TVs everywhere, seating, pool table in there, massage chairs, BYOB, you know, pretty good setup. And they've got the full swing simulators. Those are about, probably each bay's got about $60,000 in it. And they do a free demo. Monthly packages. Go check them out. Theback9golf.com in Fayetteville. All right, everybody. Appreciate the gang for joining us. Danny West, all of your questions. K Kevin Bohannon, and we'll be back with you guys on Thursday. This has been Trey Beatty with HogSports.com. Catch you next time. Oh,